Oh, is that the one about the Ric Flair and who else was on that flight?
Seems like there's a lot of people. I think Michael PSA is there's so many stories about it. Like, I'm not sure if it was involving both of them because I think it's been more than one plane ride. But I remember that one standing out. So I already got it on the DVR. I'm curious to see, hear the details for people who like to snitch.
It would be interesting to go and watch those at some point, but yeah, there are definitely commute type reasons that that are limiting my viewing of pretty much everything.
Yeah, Ric Flair and when Mr. Perfect and Brock Lesnar was fighting.
Oh, I forgot that that one happened.
I remember the details about it, but just a little bit, like an anecdote about
Yeah, that really doesn't seem like a good idea.
it.
It seems
All right.
completely inadvisable, in every way, shape, and form.
Let's get this show on the road. Talk about stuff that is advisable.
Well, I decided to pull a Kevin and Jeremy open there. So this is the show. That is Shahid Abdul Hadi. How you doing, sir?
I'm busy munching on the orange. People wondering like how professional is he?
You're just trying to
But
keep your vitamin C
I
up.
got sideswiped by my host. I feel like Sid Vicious, like we cut.
Oh, I've kind of liked that way to ease things into the show itself to talk about something not completely just a straight up review of wrestling.
So, yeah,
So
of
I saw
course
an
you would.
opening and went with it. It was
Well, there you
it
go.
started somewhere middle of that dark side of the ring talk there, but Something that was to me a highlight of a moment, and Chris and I kicked it off this way, and it would be great to get your take on it. Big E winning the WWE Championship after cashing in Money in the Bank over one Bobby Lashley, who has really been presented quite well, what, for the last 6 months?
At least, if not longer. Like he's had the belt since before, like a month before Mania. So what, March?
Oh, yeah, so that makes it about
Yeah, so
6 months.
about 6 months. Yeah, about 6 months. But even before he, like really since the Hurt Business started,
Yeah.
like last year, like Raw. I think like Raw Underground's kind of like when that journey started. RIP to a great concept. So, but no, I saw Big E's tweet and I was like, oh, come on now. Like, he's like, my first thought was they're not gonna do that. Because it's just kind of like, not that it wasn't a good idea, I was just expecting shenanigans to happen. Because I'm used to shenanigans happening with stuff like that. Seems like, a random Monday, against Monday Night Football. Like, because I know originally the plan was to do it at the draft.
Oh, okay. I did not hear
And
that,
it
but
decided,
that is
yeah.
seems like a decent time to do it.
And they decided to move it up. And it's like, the journey of Big E since he left the New Day has just been like, this is a funny thing because it's just been an organic push. And it's been kind of like the fans have been behind him and the New Day's been behind him. And then you've had the other side saying, well, he's too goofy. He needs to be serious. He can't be himself and do it. And it's kind of like he did it being himself. He's a homegrown WWE superstar who learned the best way to do it, which is being himself. And seeing him win it in a hot crowd in Boston, beating a champion that people, respected. And Lashley didn't lose anything from losing that match. He, like, he came off better for it. And to see
No.
how excited Big E was and like seeing Kofi's face and Xavier's face is like, wow, he did it. And you can tell it's an important thing when you look online. It's kind of like none of his peers had anything bad to say about him. And everybody was celebrating him.
Yeah, this is the first event, and I don't think it's going to be the last, to see a lot of even the AEW people that moved over from the WWE congratulating Big E. Because I feel like, there's Bray Wyatt popped up out of nowhere to say something. And then, Paul White had some interaction with him too. And I feel like there's someone else from AEW that, you know, said something. So, that guy really got nothing but praise for winning the championship.
And it's kind of like, I know we talk about history sometimes not meaning much, but it's kind of like, it's the first time that a black challenger beat a black champion for the WWE/WWF title. Hey. WWF has been around for a long time.
How many times has there actually been a black on black championship match before this?
Like only with the women, Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, Bianca, or if you want to count when The Rock wrestled Booker T for the WCW title, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't have been surprised if that was the first. I don't know why that's the real air ball to forget about Bianca and Sasha. But, it still is not obviously a very long list.
But it's funny where I made the joke saying they've had more black WWE champs in the past 2 years than they had like the previous 30.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of felt like it. And this didn't feel forced. This felt like, you know, Big E had the briefcase. He's letting them know he's going to cash in the briefcase. He's been teasing, cashing in, but all the tease has been with Roman Reigns, with Brock Lesnar being back and Finn Balor being back. It's kind of like it just makes sense to, you know, challenge somebody else. And I like how they built it, where it's kind of like, they try to play it, like MVP try to play it, you're afraid of Roman Reigns, so you ran from SmackDown to challenge Lashley. And Lashley's whole thing was, he beat off more than he needed to. Like, beat Randy Orton, leave. No, not, I'm going to beat Randy Orton, then I'm going to beat up Randy Orton and Riddle, and then tweak my knee and throw up the X because I'm flipping around. When Big E told you exactly what he was going to do, and you just let your pride and your anger get the best of you.
He had more than ample time to get out of that ring. Like, they really gave him a... Did they give him a full commercial? Because was there a commercial break in there?
There was a commercial break when he cashed in the briefcase.
People
were getting worried, thinking, like, it's going to be a, you know, some shenanigans is going to happen, and I'm going to cash it in. My thought process was, they want people to turn the channel because on Monday Night Football, the Raiders had just tied the game right around that time. And it was the fourth quarter. So it's kind of like, if you're on Twitter and you see that, you're going to tell people what's going on. So, because I was going back and forth between the match and the game. So I call it bits and pieces of match. One thing about that, shout out to Randy Orton. And Boston loves some Randy Orton, because that man was over, like, it was like 2009.
I guess I'm not surprised. I feel like a lot of people have, at least online, have enjoyed the Renaissance, so I'm not surprised that that is kind of a continued momentum with the crowds, honestly. He's done a lot of great work in the past, you know, in the pandemic era here.
Yes, he has. And it's different, like, seeing that and wondering how the crowd would react, like, having a crowd and seeing who's over and who's not over. And it's kind of like, Randy Orton couldn't talk for 30 seconds without them chanting his name, like, multiple times. I'm like, is it just they just miss watching wrestling? Or they, like, Randy Orton's, like, one of the last of OGs? But, yeah, he added a lot to that. He added a lot to the match. And it's funny where people was thinking, like, for the longest, I was thinking, like, Orton was going to be Lashley for the title to set up, you know, Orton versus Riddle. And now, whole new, you know, you can always do that match and doesn't have to involve a title. Lashley can go to SmackDown if he wants and be just fine. Like, he's proved what he needed to prove on Raw. There's really nothing else for him to do. So, oh,
yeah.
And now you got Big E as world champion. Wow. This is a funny thing. Like, he deserves it. You're like, I don't have an issue with him having a belt at all. It's just kind of like,
yeah,
you knew they were building to it. You just didn't know. I was thinking, if anything, it would be like next year.
Yeah, I guess I kept on thinking that he was going to hold on to the briefcase for one of the longer amounts of time. Like, I don't know if he'd wait until like Seth Rollins for the, you know, the following WrestleMania to finally cash in. But yeah, like you said, there was a lot going on there since he'd been concentrating on Roman Reigns, or at least, you know, lurking around since that was on his brand. Like, it, yeah, it kind of caught me by surprise to put him on Raw. And I do think it's going to be interesting. Like, they've given him a little more of a character, but I still think he's going to need more mic time moving forward to kind of really cement what his character is. What I, because like,
just let him be more of him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I kind of think that's, I mean, it's kind of like his only issue is kind of like, you know, you get bits and pieces. You don't get like extended pieces. Like, you get enough to want more. And yeah, now it's kind of like he doesn't have a mouthpiece. He doesn't really need one.
Oh, it's just no. Kind
of like, all right, you got the chance to talk. And you don't have to talk longer. It's different between talking for 30 seconds and talking for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Not to say he can't do it. It's just they haven't really had him do it. Now it's time for him to do it. So let him. I'm very interested in seeing how that goes. And it's one of the first times I watched Raw in quite a while. Like, I've actually watched Raw the past couple weeks because my work schedule allowed that. And I'm excited about Raw again, because mostly I had not for a long time. Kind of tuned out on Raw. Like, Raw just sucked.
Yeah, it was definitely bottom of the barrel as far as quality of watch went. So, like, if there was something to cut from the menu, Raw should always be on that list. Because, well, it's long, and, there were just not enough highlights in it to really make something of it. And I guess it is going to be interesting with the draft coming, because, what, they did officially announce that, and it's in 3 weeks?
Yeah, like, it starts on the 1st on SmackDown and finishes on the 4th on Raw.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, whatever challenger Big E's going to have for Extreme Rules, like, I kind of assume that he's going to hold on to the championship, and then we'll see what happens when the shakeup happens here.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they'll flip-flop champions, because it's kind of like Roman, like, SmackDown feels like the Roman Reigns show, and they keep, you know, it's kind of like SmackDown is the A show for WWE right now, and they're not going to mess with that anytime soon. Secondary people may move. I would, you know, I know they announced that Brock's wrestling Reigns at Crown Jewels. They're not going to move Brock anytime soon, but I can see them moving people in the mid-card. But it's kind of like, I'm curious to see what they do. It's kind of like, who do they move, and what NXT people get moved up with, like how NXT has changed, what the mandate is. We're going to push young people more, you know, because it's sort of be a young man show to begin with. They're going back to that. And I'm also curious to see what they do with the women, because, ooh, people forget how, I know we weren't going to talk about SmackDown too much, I would just say this about SmackDown, people forget how awesome a heel Becky Lynch used to be in NXT. Because, boy, she came off as unlikable. And I was just laughing. Like, this woman came out with a fur coat, like a Jersey Shore mob mom, talking about, I could be taking care of my baby, I came back, and y'all booing me? Kiss my ass.
The heel thing might work out better. the story seemed bad at SummerSlam, but they have really, I think, done a good job of turning it into a good story. You know, out of a really, to me, what would be a bad showing. Because, yeah, Bianca's owned up to it for the most part, and Becky really has been, like you said, unlikable.
On purpose. And I give kudos to WWE. Like they made a mistake how they booked it originally, but they're not pretending to be oblivious. So it's kind of like people, as popular as Becky Lynch is, and as how much people like Becky Lynch, they did not like how SummerSlam went down. And every, like, your fan base likes Bianca Belair. Like, even it's awesome as she was as a heel, she's likable. And it's kind of like she's come off where, yeah, I messed up, I learned from it, I'm not gonna make the same mistake twice. And they wanted to root for Bianca Belair. Like, Becky Lynch is coming off like, I'm the man, I got ratings, I'm making money. It's kind of like she's like, you know what, let me be Conor McGregor for a little bit. And just shows how unlikable Conor McGregor would be with a certain fan base. And it's kind of like, it's funny because I would say I could have easily seen them put their head in the sand and just push Becky as a face and just ignore the boost because they've done stuff like that before. This time, they kind of like, you know what? It is what it is. Let's just go with it.
Oh. Yeah, it's always wild when they decide to ignore that. But, yeah, they just decided to lean into it, and it's paying dividends, I would say. Because, yeah, like you said, Becky Lynch, she has a track record of being a heel. So it's not like one of those. The one that I always seem to remember is like when everyone's like, oh, Sami Zayn, I don't know if he can be a heel. He's been such a great underdog babyface for, you know, however many years. And then he just has been great as a heel ever since because he's good at wrestling. And yes. Becky Lynch is kind of in that same category where she can work either side of the table.
Yeah, because and everyone can't do that because it's kind of like Sasha Banks is a good baby face, but she's always better as a heel because she can just carries herself that way. It's Charlotte. It's, you have to be a bigot to root for Charlotte Flair. No offense. like it's nothing about Charlotte that screams baby face. So they, whenever they try to do that, it's kind of like, eh. And Becky is kind of like, she was a heel in NXT for quite a while. But it's kind of like that was a long time ago, so a lot of people may have forgotten about that. But it's like her supreme confidence in herself and ability to overcome anything can easily become a heel if you just push it 10% more, like Bret Hart. Like Bret Hart went from being a hero to being insufferable, and all he did was just try 10% harder. That's all it takes sometimes. And I have to feel like when they had their match, Bianca's just going to trounce her and have Becky just snap.
That would be great. I mean, that would be a lot of fun. Even if it's kind of, you know, because they are wrestling at Extreme Rules.
Yes, correct. Becky finally decided to sign the contract after saying, well, what if I don't? What if I just don't sign? What you going to do? And it's funny where they're playing her almost like a coward. And it's like, that's not the word you would think of Becky Lynch as being afraid, but it's kind of like, I don't blame her. Like, all that, I'm tough and I'm the man. I'm like, we see Bianca Belair. Like, physically, she can dominate 95% of the women on that roster, and Becky Lynch is not the exception to that rule.
Correct.
I don't. If it's in that storyline anyway, I'm curious to see how they play. Like, I'm sure it'll be competitive, but it's kind of like Bianca has the physical advantage. Fans are rooting for her. And like another, you know, SmackDown does a good job of making you care, give you a reason to care about matches. They just don't have matches. They make you like have invested in them, and that's why SmackDown's been consistently good.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent argument for SmackDown that started on Raw.
Yeah.
But oh, and I guess kind of talking about Charlotte, maybe I guess we can stick on the women's path a little bit. Her and Alexa Bliss, the Columbus native, getting a match at Extreme Rules right here in her hometown. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, because it's like two women that a lot of people don't like wrestling against each other. And it's kind of like, it's funny where Alexa Bliss has probably had, with the exception, well, yeah, her and Carmella, but probably she has the advantage, probably the most successful non-horsewoman woman's career since they left NXT.
Oh, yep.
And, but it's kind of like, that whole spooky stuff is kind of like, there's some people that like that, and there's a lot of people that don't. Like, it's kind of like, it's just a turn off. And then a lot of, it's just a weird vibe about her, because it's kind of like, that supernatural stuff doesn't work for everybody. And then there's too much that Lolita stuff, where it's like, it's a lot of guys that like her, because she, because they treat her like she's 16 years old, and that's, ugh, to begin with. And then you got Charlotte, that's just like, enough. Like, she doesn't
No.
do anything wrong. She feeds it to him. It was like, I've been seeing this Charlotte shit for a long time. And I was tired of it 3 years ago, and we're still doing it.
Like, she's probably the worst of them all, as far as like, she's gotta be unlikable. Like, and it's. Yeah, like you said, like, her baby face stuff doesn't work out, and that. Oh, man, it's just bad for her career just because she's playing the same note basically all the time, and she's on TV all the time. You know, there's nothing to change with her. Like, it would be weird if she did some, and I'm not gonna say she's gonna do an Alexa Bliss gimmick, but like it. I don't see her doing some play acting in the ring, some cosplay for the WWE.
I don't know, that would be hilarious. Trying to see Charlotte do that spooky shit. Just because she just seems so. Because it's funny where Charlotte carries herself like she's a Versace model that just happens to be an awesome athlete. Like, she's above all of that. But it's like a little, like, she'll do that goofy stuff. Like, I remember when Asuka was just spraying her in the face every week on Raw, and she was just so put upon about that. It's just a weird dynamic where it's two heels. I guess, like, if fans are gonna root for anybody, it's gonna be for Alexa, because, like, Alexa's slightly more likable than Charlotte, and of course, it's the hometown. But, WWE hometown normally doesn't go well hand in hand, so.
I do actually think Alexa Bliss won her last match when they were here. But yeah, that is an exception, not the rule for sure. And I don't know, like, having Charlotte just lose these things essentially in her first title defense, because did she was that basically, I feel like it was close to her first defense when did she lose it to Nikki Cross in that three-way match? I'm trying to, because she
No,
lost it
she.
recently, and then oh, Nikki Cross
Because
won it
Nikki
off.
cashed in. And Nikki won it off Money in the Bank cashing in on Charlotte. And then
Oh.
Charlotte would be one in a three-way at SummerSlam.
Okay, yeah, that's what it was.
And Nikki's first official defense. So.
Yeah, but I guess I even back to I guess back to the cash in, like, I don't think Charlotte had had the belt for very long at that point. Like, I feel like she'd only had it a month or two. It's just like, oh man, she's losing it already? That's a little wild. And then she just wins it back.
I mean, to be fair, they don't really have a I mean, what they when they move Rhea and Nikki to the tag division, and Asuka's on vacation playing Nintendo Switch games, they don't really have anybody for Charlotte to wrestle right now. And that's their fault. It's like, I couldn't tell you how, like, it's just, I'm so used to Charlotte having the belt, it's almost worse situation. It's just this kind of like, it's she's like Thanos, it's inevitable, and not in a good way. And it's not her fault because she's talented, but it gets to a point where enough's enough. Like, I don't care if it's Raw, I don't care if it's on SmackDown, it's like, wait, she's done everything. What else is there? Unless they're going to have her wrestle new people, and even when we saw that, it's like, you know, she already trounced Rhea Ripley multiple times, kind of like, unless they're going to bring new people from NXT, or they're going to move, or if they move Charlotte to SmackDown, and have her, you know, I would like to see her, Bianca Belair, in like a real fair feud.
Yeah,
who's going to wrestle?
Raw's women's division has been a disaster for a long time. And, and no one's really been elevated. You know, Rhea Ripley came up and now she's pretty much lost every one of her big matches in the main roster WWE.
She says, well, she's young and that's fine. It's like,
yeah, well, that is true.
But it's like, why waste time? You shouldn't be like Edge. It takes you 8 years to figure stuff out. It's like, women hit a certain, everybody not going to be Tamina and Natalya just, I'm going to be here for 20 years because I like it that much. It's like a lot of women, it's like, they hit 20, 29, they like, bump that, I'm having kids. I'm out.
I guess we've already seen Becky Lynch at least take a 18-month hiatus, and it does seem like some extenuating circumstances got her out of that hiatus a little bit sooner than expected.
You have death with the women, but most of death is NXT related.
Too
many women. Like, you look at the main roster now. Who's really, like, you talk Bianca Belair, who's, like, just some on the main roster that you feel excited about? Nobody, because you've seen all of them do something to a certain extent. And it's kind of like, you know, Bayley's hurt. Sasha is Sasha, where it's like, you know, she's either missing action or, like, buying her time till she goes to Hollywood. Charlotte is Charlotte. You got, you know, Nia Jax and Shayna, that's whatever. I mean, as much as I like Eva Marie just healing it up and having people pissed off because they don't get the gimmick, it's a shelf life to that too. And they haven't really done anything with the new people, like, you know, Shotzi and Tegan. They had a ride around the tank. They won two matches and that's it. Toni Storm was there, what, once?
Yep.
Twice and that's it.
Yeah, that was the one that I was thinking of, was Toni Storm. It's just like, they've had a chance to do stuff with at least some of the women, because Tegan and Shotzi were going after the tag team championships, but then all of a sudden they weren't on TV, and because who just won them? Off of Tamina and...
They still have them.
Oh, they still have them?
Yeah, even though somehow Natalya had an ACL injury and came back in 3 weeks. I have no idea. Cause they like, oh, she had a serious knee injury, and then they had Natalya wrestle by herself for a couple weeks, and then Natalya's right back. Like, oh, you know, I'm Canadian. I heal fast. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were Wolverine.
That's one of the reasons she's been around for 20 years. She is she has adamantium for her bones and regenerative tissues. It's pretty amazing.
I guess you get that from giving Ric Flair chops to her sister. What a when she falls. But I'm just laughing at the fact where it's 2021 and Tamina and Natalya are like the grizzled, respected veterans of the women's locker room, especially Tamina. And trust me, I respect Tamina. I don't have anything bad to say about her. And people learned the hard way about WrestleMania. Like, yeah, you go ahead and say some slick about Tamina if you want. She got a fan base.
And they was
lighting people up on Twitter. Like, oh, Tamina got a high one. Yes, Tamina has a fan. Everyone has a fan base if you look hard enough. So, don't poke the bear.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to touch on in the women's division, but I don't think there is.
No, I mean, besides Eva Marie, I saw her little Twitter rant, her match with Doudrop talking about, you know, you thought you're a big deal because you jumped me. I don't know how they do it in Finland, but in America, that's a crime. If you want to be a barbarian, go back home. And I've never heard anyone be called a Finnish barbarian before. So kudos to Eva Marie for being a xenophobe in addition to everything else.
Yeah, her gimmick is a somewhat strange one for 2021. That is for sure.
She's an old school delusional heel. That's all she is. And fans cannot wrap their head around. They hate her so much. They think the character is really her. Like, this woman's here talking about, you know, all these skills I learned on the indies is why Doudrop is good. I'm teaching people like Mrs. Miyagi. Why are y'all taking that seriously? It's like, she knows exactly what she's doing, and y'all keep falling for it. I thought internet fans were supposed to be the smart fans. Why are they always like the dumbest?
That is definitely one that, at least thankfully, on no matter who's been on this show, they at least know that it's an act this time. But the crowd, not so much. They are still buying this hook, line, and sinker. And
she brought it back.
Yep, that's why she's gonna stick around too. She can keep on losing matches as long as people keep on booing.
And I like how she just leans into it. Like, she knows exactly how to play it. And it just works. They don't really have heels. Like, it's funny where she's almost like, Bayley was like kind of the last heel that was doing that. And it's like, you expect that from Bayley because it's like, you know, it's Bayley. She's good at being a heel and she can back it up with wrestling. Eva Marie's whole thing is she's a coward, but she just pretends that she's a badass. It's like, fans don't seem to have, fans seem to have an issue with that in 2021 because we have so been evolved from heels like that. And I'm like, no, we have not. It's room for multiple type of heels. So I embrace all of them.
She's gonna be a fun one to keep around. I still think they need to do a better job if they keep on having her bring in new bodyguards and ending up getting in trouble with them. I would be completely fine with that. Is a way to bring up new women from NXT? Like, it would be kind of hilarious.
When Mess Gonzalez shows up and it's the new Diesel to E. Marie's HBK, I'm going to laugh my ass off.
That seems like a prime opportunity, right? Because
for the fact that, yeah.
You basically play back the Dakota Kai storyline, with Eva Marie.
Just get the hate from, like, oh, they're wasting her and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's perfect. It is perfect. So, speaking of NXT, NXT, when they said it was going to look new, it looked new. Like, I'm like, I had to change the contrast on my screen.
They definitely brightened up everything. It is not as drab as it once was.
Yes. Is it just me? Because I know other people say it. The ring looked bigger.
I guess I didn't particularly pay attention. That's probably a good idea, I would think. But, I mean, that'd be kind of odd if it was actually... Because I think people have said that the WWE ring is 2 foot larger than most rings. Want to say that it's 20 by 20 instead of 18 by 18?
I wouldn't be surprised. But, I mean, this ring seemed...
Even bigger.
Even than a WWE ring. It felt like one of those kickboxing rings they had in the Netherlands. Like, the ring just seemed big. I don't know if it's just the ring was bigger, how they lit the ring or whatever. I like the new look because, like, you know, it feels like an old school studio show. And not dingy. Like, you know, it just felt like if you were flicking through the channels and you saw that, you'd probably keep it on for 3 or 4 seconds. And it just felt new. Like, they were pushing people. Some people I never heard of, like Von Wagner. I have no idea where he came from. Mr. Jim, creator, wrestler number 7. That's fine. And I know they couldn't use the Steiner name, but come on now. You're going to try to sneak Rick Steiner's son in those tights with that jaw and that face and not have us know exactly who that is?
That one was one. I didn't click on the headline, but... Just because they gave him, what was it, Braun Breaker, I believe, was his name.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, yeah. You know, you're trying to avoid calling him Steiner. Like, if you're not going with it out of the gate, you're trying to hide it. So when I saw... a story about the WWE not wanting to use the Steiner name. I'm like, don't you own everything from WCW? Like, you can use the name.
Yeah, I don't know if it's beef between the, you know, the Breaker Scott with WWE. It might have been some before. I know Scott didn't have nice things to say. I thought that was worked out. And I know people talked about, like, of course, you need to make money off the name. But, like, it's the Steiners. Like, it's some names, it doesn't matter. But it's not like the Steiners are their real names anyway. And every time you see them, you're going to think about it. It's the same thing when you try, Charlotte, we can't call her, you know, we can't call her Flair, even though she's Ric Flair's daughter. She comes out with Ric Flair, but we can't say Charlotte's from Charlotte, so we have to say Charlotte's from the Queen City. And eventually they say, you know what? It's Flair. Let's stop playing these games. Like, and then you have him in his tights, and you have him wrestle the way he wrestles. It's like, come on now. And obviously they know what he's going to be the next NXT champion. Like, the way they're pushing that, it's like, that's where that's kind of leaning towards. So let's not Ron Raker. Like, I don't mind fake names. You're going to find something better.
That sums it up. Like, there are just some bad, there are bad names in the WWE sometimes, and this one is on that list for sure. I don't know why they like alliteration so much, but they do.
God bless them. So, it's kind of like, it's easy to say kids like it, and it's like, can we, these anime names, it's like, that's fine. Whatever works. But, like, just one, like, pushing that was one. And just seeing, like, NXT continued its tradition of heel versus heel feuds with, like, Legado de Fantasma and Hit Row. And, like, they do not care about this whole, you know, well, you don't have heels wrestle baby faces wrestle heel. Like, we have people fight people. And it makes it work because it's kind of like, I'm curious to see how they wrestle. And I don't know how much of a change, you know, if Vince is more hands-on or less hands-on, you know, with Triple H being out. But it's kind of like, he knows what he, you know, for all his flaws and faults, Vince McMahon isn't an idiot. He just has quirks, but he knows what he's doing when he gets out of his own way. So I'm not worried about that part with NXT. And obviously with Ciampa winning the champ with the title, it's kind of like, all right, if we're going to have a placeholder, it can't be Samoa Joe. Let's put it on Ciampa because, one, he knows how to hold the belt. Two, it makes all those people say, well, everybody over the age of 30 is going to get fired. Look kind of silly right now.
They can't get rid of all of those guys all at once because they have too many of them. Because, like, even, yeah, the Von Wagners and the Braun Breakers, they're obviously going to need more screen time than just this introduction. You know, so who knows how well these guys are going to hit it off in the future here. I mean, Von Wagner gets to be in a championship match, and Lord only knows if he's going to be any good in the long run. And like you said, he is very nondescript.
He's just a big, tall guy. And it's like, he's not... I mean, it's always going to be a place in wrestling for big, tall guys. But you just can't be big and tall. You could never just be big and tall. And I always laugh because people think that's a like size and body type of WWE. I'm like, no, that's a wrestling thing. You know why they didn't push muscle heads in the 70s? Because they didn't exist yet.
No.
That's why. There was a bunch of body beautiful people in 73, 74 in wrestling. Like, so you're going to push, you know, Bruno Sammartino and, Ivan Koloff. Because everybody looked like that. As soon as Billy Graham started doing crunches, he got the title. Like, last time I checked, both the Road Warriors and Lex Luger got, you know, they weren't WWF creations. They were NWA, WCW creations. And they got where they got for a large part because of body type. And that's always going to be a thing. But if you just can't have muscles because you got to be able to use them. Because you just got like, it's a limit to what you can do with muscles. And even people, they think, like, you know, oh, Sid Vicious was just a big guy. No, he wasn't. He was charismatic. He had enough time to, like, anybody can get muscles. Like, work hard, have good genetics, and work out, and use right drugs. That's not enough. So, I just, like, the NXT thing has always been, and it kind of leads toward toward AEW, where you can get away with having a certain body type if everyone is similar to you. Like, NXT, most of their big guys, they don't stay in NXT for long. That's one thing I kind of notice. They get a push, they start getting hot, they get moved. Because, like, everybody can be 5'8 to 5'10 as long as they aren't wrestling a bunch of people 6'4 or 6'5.
Yeah. Yeah. The top of the card has been definitely on the small side in NXT for a while now. And getting rid of Adam Cole definitely helps you size things up.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Cole was kind of reached as high as he's going to go in WWE, so there's no point in him staying and beating his head against that glass ceiling. Because you have smaller guys that have gone far, like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, but even then, they're both bigger than Adam Cole is now. And also, it's a limit to that, too. Like, Bryan Danielson has this style where it's like, he can wrestle anybody, and he fight, he can beat. CM Punk for as good as he good. It's like, it's some match like, alright. It's not a snowball's chance in hell. I think he can shoot the fair one with The Rock or Brock Lesnar or The Undertaker and win. I don't give a damn how many pipe bomb promos he could. Like, size makes a difference and how you carry yourself makes a difference. Like,
yes.
It's a ceiling to that. It's always been a ceiling to that with body types. Like, you know, it is no era where CM Punk was going to be at the top of the promotion higher than he was in WWF and any promotion, unless he was in ECW. And he could have took Shane Douglas' spot. That's it. You put him in WCW? No. You put him in WWF in any time frame past 1978? No. That's not his fault. That's wrestling. Wrestling's always been a thing. I just laugh at this whole WWF didn't use him right. Didn't he have the belt for like a year?
Oh, yeah, they could have tried to
rock twice, like.
Yeah, I mean, they might have been able to get some mileage out of him on the main roster. But like you said, like there's kind of a limit to what he can do there. You know, there's just going to be some guys that, because I don't know, him and Keith Lee didn't really interact that much. Damian Priest.
Exactly how that would have looked. Yeah, like, you know how that would have looked. Because we saw with Roderick Strong, like, we saw the matches with Roderick Strong and of course Russell Keith Lee. It's like, come on now. Unless he got a tranquilizer gun in his pocket. They're not beating Keith Lee. It's kind of like Adam Cole is a very good wrestler. He's one of the best promos in the business. The moment you put him on, moment you put him next to Cesaro, you're going to notice it's a size difference. And that's just Cesaro. Like, oh. The Miz will look like Andre the Giant standing next to, like, Adam Cole. So, you're trying to tell me he's going to be there? He's going to beat Drew McIntyre?
Like, yeah, he's going to be. Yeah, and even, I mean, Roman Reigns is kind of on the small side, but he's still, what, like 6'5", 265 or something like that?
Roman Reigns only seems small if he's standing next to, like, Omos. Roman Reigns is a large-ass man. He just happens to mostly wrestle people as big as him or bigger. Like, size has always been a thing in wrestling.
Yeah.
And it always will be. You can overcome it, but organizations that overcome it, they're smart. Cause they, like, AEW, they've done a good job. Most of their main eventers all around the same size.
Yeah.
They only got two, like, really large guys. Miro's doing his own thing, redeeming people, being a holy church warrior. And Brian Cage is just a goofball with muscles.
Well,
beyond that, it's not a whole bunch of tall guys that's like, I can have a match and feel like it's just a mismatch of size because they don't have a lot of big guys like that anyway.
Yeah, because even the Miro and what was the other kind of short squat guy that you just mentioned?
Oh, Mr. Brian Cage.
Oh, Brian Cage, yeah. I mean, that's all muscle, but I mean, he's also, like, all of, like, 6 foot. And I'm just like, you're trying to make up for you not being as tall as you really want to be. But, yeah, him and Miro both aren't terribly tall. Like, they're big guys, but they're also not, like, you know. How many times have we said that about, like, Randy Orton? You're like, you don't realize how big he is until he's standing next to someone else who's really big. And you're like, holy shit, Randy Orton's bigger than that guy.
Yep, the Barry Windham Billy Gunn syndrome.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you don't realize how big someone is. So they're standing next to somebody that you thought's big. It's like, oh, you're towering over him. And that's kind of like a thing. And that's like, NXT has kind of avoided that, and now they're pushing, they're back to like this whole, let's push our young people, let's make it what it used to be, developmental. And like between the, like, they have a very, even with all the people that's left, and one thing that kind of stands out, because I guess we'll finish with AEW, for all the people that's left WWE, they still have so many people where it's insane. You just realize how ridiculously deep the roster was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Because it's like 3 or 4 tag teams that's no longer in WWE. I see 2 of them on AEW, and it does make a difference. Like, there was a time when Anderson and Gallows, The Revival, and AOP were all on Raw. And none of them there right now, and it does not matter at all. Just for an example, like, you know, Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, I mean, Kevin Owens, if his contract runs out, he can go there. And it's like, so what? Not so what to them. It's kind of like, when they signed everybody, that means you have everybody. So even if you lose half of everybody, you still have the other half of everybody.
Hey, yeah, and Kevin Owens, to me, is kind of at that point. Like, they gave him 2 championship runs?
Just the one that got stopped because of Goldberg.
Because
our dumbasses cheered for his promo, and boy, we've been paying for that shit ever since.
Yeah, you know, but Kevin Owens kind of hit the ceiling, you know what I mean? Like, he is slimmed down, but he's another guy that isn't terribly tall. He's kind of a big guy, but he does fit the AEW body type mold a little bit better.
Yes. That means he doesn't have abs.
Well, I mean, some of those guys went over. I mean, Sean Spears has abs. Daniel Bryan has abs. I'm not going to say that about CM Punk because he still doesn't have abs.
Yeah, if you're under, it's easy to have abs when you're under 220. And they said Sean Spears was generic. I can't wait till we finish with AEW. But the only thing I'll say, the last thing I'll say about NXT is, I know Macho Man Elizabeth was the benchmark for weddings. And beyond that, this is probably the best wedding in wrestling history. Because one, it's only the third one I remember where the wedding actually went through. Like Macho Man Elizabeth and Tori and Al Wilson are the other ones.
Oh, I forgot that one went through. Oh my gosh.
And it's the reason we all forgot that. I wish I knew that. And it's just a funny way. This goofy storyline was a long-term storyline that had a beginning, a middle, end, and just played out perfectly. And it's like, I'm just amazed. Like, this is probably one of the best storylines main roster otherwise WWE has done in a long time. For like length, scope, and just how enjoyable it was. With people, like, none of them are stars. And they became people you cared about.
And they overcame what are just bizarre dynamics. Like, the fact that it worked that two grown people, Austin Theory and Indy Hartwell, just completely sold being the children of Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. It's definitely a strange dynamic, but it's really worked out well. And then the fact that it's really turned into a joke that Austin Theory was kidnapped and left in a trunk for a weekend.
Yes, it's like, it's just amazing. Like, the babyface is almost a serial killer that doesn't talk, never cuts a promo, and tries to strangle people. And just like,
and threaten people with a hatchet is at his own wedding.
That would look interesting to me. I was like, this man brought an axe. Like, no, this, I'm not going out like a different world. Ain't no Dwayne ruining my wedding. So, and the fact where it's kind of like, you know, Candace and Johnny was trying to break up that thing from the beginning. Indy and Kansas end up winning the tag team titles, lose the tag team title because of Love. They have a match where it's like Lover or Lever lose. Indy says, whatever, I don't care. They go out on dates. They keep trying to sabotage the dates. And then win them over at the bachelor party with laser tag. To the point where we have a wedding, and it's like everybody's on the same page. The groomsmen all dressed up with, you know, with the glove. The great jeans. He has the rings in his tights. Grizzled Young Veterans making a bet, like, you know, wrestling winners don't end up well. And shout out to Bethany, because she was been pushing this thing from Jump Street. And of course, it's like, I went online and I became a wedding minister. I'm an ordained priest because I Googled it.
I do not think it's very hard to get ordained online. I will say that. And she has definitely been in on this angle from the get-go, so it definitely makes sense from a storyline perspective that she would know the history of wrestling weddings and be prepared for anything.
Yes, because the priest is like, oh, you don't want to have any vows? Do you love her? And he chokes out the priest. And I'm like, how are they going to overcome this? She popped in. And he actually spoke. for the first time since he's been on NXT, he spoke like Black Bolt from the Inhumans. And I'm just like, wow. Like, the one time he speaks, he does it, and it gets a big pop, and they have the wedding that goes off without a hitch. And I'm like, and of course, Johnny Gargano's Ciampa's just watching that, because as they set up the future, I'm like, that's what makes NXT stand out. When they have a storyline that they really get into, they really get into it. And they let that shit breathe, and they listen to it grow, and just elevate multiple people from it. And, you know, Candice is going to have her baby. Johnny might be working somewhere else. And, you know, it's kind of like Austin Theory. It's kind of like, you know, he's going to go ahead and do his thing. And good luck to Andy and Dexter Lumis.
Until right now, thought about what they're going to do with that moving forward. But as you said, like that has been a consistently enjoyable part of NXT for quite a while now. So we'll see if they can continue that enjoyment in the future. But that's going to be hard to replicate.
Very. As long as you don't get jumped by old soccer mom Mandy Rose, like, is that her gimmick? I'm gonna change my hair color and just figure it out. It's like the brute. Like, I'm not gonna spend too much time. Like, I'm a fan of Mandy Rose. They're obviously a fan of Mandy Rose, and NXT is a perfect place to kind of figure out what you need to do. But her career's been weird. It's like,
oh,
they don't know what to her. Because she's, if Trish Stratus and Scott Norton had a baby, it'd be Mandy Rose.
That's the part that baffles me the most. I'm like, I swear I've seen her have good matches. She's good with cutting promos. Like, I'm not sure what the missing ingredient is, but it definitely hasn't hit on the main roster. And I don't completely know why.
You know what it is? People that beautiful aren't baby faces in WWE. And they keep trying to make her baby face. Like, WWE, we've had this talk before. I had this talk with a lot of my wrestling fans. Wrestling fans have a very peculiar idea of who they cheer as baby face. Like, you can be beautiful, but you can't be too beautiful. Like, you have to be where delusion of like, well, you know, if I get a nice job and I'll work out for 3 months, I could be with AJ Lee. So I'll cheer for AJ Lee. Like, fans will delude themselves like they might have a shot with Bayley. They know damn well they could never be like somebody like Maryse. So that's why somebody like Maryse would never be cheered. Mandy Rose is one of the first women in a long time until Carmella started doing it again, where it's like, her gimmick was, I'm gorgeous. Because Mandy Rose is drop-dead gorgeous, but she wrestles like a power wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
When she's a heel, it works because she comes off as like, you know, I'm a bully that looks like a supermodel. But they keep trying to make her a babyface. And it's like, it's not her fault. WWE fans are not going to cheer. I don't care how many Karen haircuts you give her. Cut her hair as short as you want. It's not going to matter. And now she's out there with brunette with those other two NXT women that seem like they were in the trailer park aisle, like, whatever. Got her slumming it.
I mean, I think it can work out for everyone. But, I mean, it has been just kind of weird because she hasn't had, like, oh, she's in NXT, and then she was, like, off TV for a week, and then back on, and then back off, and... Yeah, I guess she was finishing up dyeing her hair earlier in the night, so they were waiting for the big reveal.
She broke her nose.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people breaking their nose lately, so at least that's been a gimmick. But like I say, I'm curious to see what NXT does, because NXT, if it's one thing they have, it is plenty of people. They got plenty of talent, and now they have the freedom to push people and just have them learn and become something. They obviously see something in her.
Oh, yeah.
They've So they're going to keep giving her chances, like, and she deserves the chances, but it's like, yeah, it's not clicking yet. Not to say that it can't. Just right now, it's not. It's kind of like, but that's what NXT should be for.
Oh.
Have people figure out, we don't really need to give 25 minutes to Bobby Fish. Like, what are we doing?
there's a reason Bobby Fish is in MLW currently.
It's like, if you can't really find the Kyle O'Reilly, what are you going to find for Bobby Fish? Like, what are we doing? But move away from that. And speaking of moving away, I guess we can finish up with AEW. Because I watched AEW. I've been watching AEW. My work schedule is permitted because I like, you know what? If I'm going to be a quote-unquote rest part of wrestling Twitter, I need to be watching the number two promotion and wrestling. And AEW combines the best and worst of what I don't like about wrestling, because they have awesome matches, but they have people who I cannot stand. Like, and their booking is so nonsensical sometimes. Like, I use two examples. One, this Jericho American Top Team thing.
I know Dan Lambert told me
the heel, but I was laughing my ass off of that promo he was cutting, because like, I put a bunch of 5, 690 pound people doing a whole bunch of flips through a table to get a 2 count. I have made that joke so many times because it's so much validity, and I'm like, I know he's holding a heel, but he ain't saying anything that's wrong. And and then Jericho coming out here, he almost 60 years old, making gay jokes, and I'm like, what are we doing? Have him, like, grow up, Chris.
But he's being edgy.
Because they get the curse on TNT, whoop-de-doo. They get to say shit more than 2 times.
Wow. The Lambert stuff is just, it kind of seems like recycled material that I heard already, so it's just like, okay, whatever, you know. And also, like, if you hate AEW that much, why are you there week after week after week?
Hey, gotta get a check, pal. Gotta pay them bills. Some bills won't pay themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the whole thing. I know, like, Jericho is the hero in this, but it's like, I can't cheer for Jericho. So, it's too many times where they have people like, I'm so to cheer for him. I'm like, no. And not a bad issue is this Cody Rhodes nonsense. The fans did not seem enthused for Cody Rhodes to come back.
You know, that was one where I didn't quite catch that part of the show, so I didn't hear the crowd reaction one way or the other, but you are not the first person, I will say that much, to note that the crowd reaction, not great. I'll tell you what, that Roads to the Top, or whatever it's called, does not seem to paint a very good picture of Cody Rhodes, honestly. Just from the commercials. And I'm sure as hell not going to watch it. But that energy seems to have...
to how he comes off?
I think so. Like, he kind of was the hero that he thinks he was a few years ago. But we're past that stage now. Of him being the folk hero who stepped away from the WWE.
Someone needs to tell him that.
You know, like, because, I mean, how many, legitimately, like, what? AEW's been running for 3 years. Or 2.5?
Something like that.
So, and Rhodes was out of the WWE, like, for, you know, like, 2 or 3 years prior. This actually has me interested enough to look it up on Wikipedia. But yeah, he was out of... And I mean, I kind of understood the WWE guy does the, you know, independent thing. Yeah, so 2016, he went on the indies.
I mean, it's fine, but we saw that with Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy did it better. Like, I don't begrudge Cody Rhodes for what he's done, but it's like now he comes off like he's not that scrappy underdog anymore. He's management, and he comes off like, you know, I'm a hero. And they're like, no, the crowd does not look at you like a hero. They were kind of like, whatever. They're rooting for the man that kicked your brains out.
Yeah, I guess that was the point that I was trying to get to, though, too, is that in 2016, that kind of, or even when he was in New Japan, that kind of gimmick worked for him, but it's just, like you said, like, it's not 2016 or 2018 anymore, man. It's, you are management. Like, that's, yeah, not a folk hero anymore.
And he got Rosario Dawson out here wasting her time. like that, you know, Corey, that is Senator Corey's Booker's girlfriend. Don't let her get hurt so you get some heat.
I mean, come on, she's one of our. He's trying to injure one of our great actors. I don't know what the what he's thinking. All for a wrestling angle.
Yeah, you really want the Senate to be looking at your whole independent contractor status for Mr. Tony Khan? Like, leave that. I saw that and start rolling my eyes, and I'm like, that's my issue with AEW. It's not the wrestling. Because the wrestling is top notch. It's, I don't even mind the whole ex-WWE thing because it's kind of like you got WWE had everybody, so you got to get somebody. It's like if you can get Bryan Danielson, you get Bryan Danielson. Like that just makes sense. And it's like
yeah,
people to care about because that makes more sense than like trying to make Shawn Spears a thing.
Well, I mean, even AEW, there have been some guys where it's just like. Whew, yeah, sorry, you're, like, everyone always tries to, and Shawn Spears is definitely a main guy there. Everyone's like, oh, man, he's so good in the ring. He just hasn't, like, because I even remember being on Edge and Christian's show podcast a while ago, and they're just like, oh, underappreciated. And he got the 10 gimmick over, and everyone loved it at the Royal Rumble, and then... Yeah, he didn't do anything in the main roster, and then he's like, ah, I'm getting my chance in AEW. And, yeah, well, he still had...
So that's one thing.
Yeah?
I mean, that's a plus. I mean, she's a beautiful one, but... Yeah, it's kind of... It's when Miro says, you know, WWE didn't use to my potential, blah, 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 and it goes out and prove it. That's one thing. When Tanahiro Conti does it, and walks or walk, that's another thing. I don't know if I want to hear that with the Revival where Shawn Spears is like, come on now. You're not doing anything more than what you were doing. You're just doing it somewhere else.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's it. I guess I still like FTR's gimmick better, but they're not... Yeah, they haven't... I haven't gone all, like, they're a transcendent wrestling team now. I enjoy them.
People just, yeah, I do too, but like,
that's...
I don't give a damn. You know my issue with them? Just because you have a gut does not make you Tully Blanchard. Like, oh, they do chin locks. They tag in and tag out. No, I'm old enough to remember Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard. I know exactly what they look like and how they wrestle. These two goofballs, because I got the retro mustache and you got a hipster beard, and it's just like, oh, they old school. No, they just don't have abs. That's all. Like, just, I don't care. Jim Ross is doing what he's going to do. He should be ashamed of himself for keep trying to lie to me. Remind me of Tully Blanchard. Well, they both white. Like, no. Stop doing that. This old-fashioned stuff, it's like, it is 2021. You should not be wrestling like you were wrestling when it's 1987. Do people drive cars that were made in 1987? You know how they drive? Like, the cars on Grand Theft Auto. It's a reason why they don't drive anymore. So why this whole, like, no. That's, that's my little rant on FTR, because they're a real tag team. Like, y'all just like circle jerking that time in 86 because y'all didn't have any bills back then. That's when y'all loved wrestling. Grow up. Not you, Kevin. I'm talking about the people on Twitter that just put a shrine to them two jerks.
Yeah, trust me, even if you told me that, I wouldn't be terribly concerned, I suppose, because, yeah, I've had enough growing up done that I don't need to concern myself with any of that talk from anyone. yeah, but FTR, they're just kind of in the same position that they were. And I guess I like at least tagging in and out more than most teams in AEW, so their gimmick kind of works a little bit better than that in there, just because, whew, man, I get a little exhausted with their tag team division not tagging in and out and basically just having four-man matches.
Yeah. So, you know what AEW is to me now? It's NWO era WCW with more control and management. And that has pluses and minuses, because AEW can do things that, you can bring Minoru Suzuki in and have him wrestle John Moxley. You could not have done that before. WWE would not, even if they wanted to, I couldn't picture them ever trying to do that right now. Maybe 3-4 years from now they will. Because I know their whole thing is, we can't pretend we're the only wrestling that exists on the planet. So, like, rules have changed. But, like, they can do things that could not be done in wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, who's homegrown in AEW that's going to be like, this is my, you see a Darby Allin. It's like the highest one. You see, like, a Orange Cassidy and Jungle Boy. But you're going to get to the point where you watch most of the Dynamite matches, like, it's ex-WWE guys. Not to say that they haven't earned it. But you're going to get to a point where it's like people from AEW that went to AEW for a chance may leave because they feel like they're not getting a chance.
Oh, yeah, because I felt like someone someone's wife put out a tweet like that. Oh, Brian Cage's wife said something, I think, recently on Twitter about him not being used right. I'm like, that guy's been on TV, like, almost nonstop. Like, I don't know what else you could want, honestly.
I want a chance. I want a push. Don't bury me like that. Like Vince would have buried me. I'm like, look, you're going to run out of spots eventually. They can have a zillion hours on YouTube. Most people don't watch it on YouTube. It's only so many spots for both men. And the women's worse, where it's like, if you're not dealing with Britt Baker and you're not blonde, good luck.
Yeah.
Besides Jay Cargill, who's really getting a push that's not being involved with Britt Baker? That's not blonde.
Well, I guess I was going to say, too, that unfortunately, like, the women's division, I guess, was so, like, I almost feel like people's valuation of the women's division has gone from... It was a disaster. It has improved, but I almost feel like people are talking about it like being on par with the women's division in NXT at this point. I'm like, nah,
that's crank.
Yeah, they are like four women deep, because as much as I think that Jade Cargill has a very bright future, I still think that, she's been wrestling like 6 months or something.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, she still needs at least a little bit more time to round out. She has an awesome character.
She does, and she has an awesome look, and she's like, she has a presence. And
yeah.
People see her, and they know it's a big thing. I can't wait to see her on Raw 2 years from now.
Yeah, like, she seems like one of those candidates that's going to be when things, to me, get interesting. Because I think it is going to work well. Like, that's one of those other things that with, at least with Daniel Bryan, what else did he have to do in the WWE, honestly? Like, he didn't have any goals to reach. there weren't that many new opponents for him to wrestle.
He went from being retired to not only being a catalyst for Kofi Mania and help making that work, he was just in the main event of WrestleMania this year. So it's like, it was whatever quote unquote dream matches he would have had would have been basically the NXT people.
Because
he kind of wrestled everybody, because he kind of wrestled everyone else. So I have no problem with him going to AEW. He wasn't, although I would hope he doesn't, you know, go out there and try to prove something like, yeah, you know, I know you were, you came out of retirement. You were retired for a reason. You are kind of old. And you weren't wrestling safe before you got retired. So don't go wild trying to prove something. Like, don't do that. Because even I see Sting trying to plot you. So I'm like, man, you need like 60. Chill out.
Yeah, the Sting thing just, oh my gosh. Like, they're trotting him out there every week like he's still 22. And he's 62. And it's just like, oh my gosh, guys. Like, he should just be reserved for somewhat special occasions, not a weekly presence here.
And I like Sting. I love Sting. But it's like, Sting is moving well for an old man. But Sting is an old man.
It's yeah.
Like, don't. He's in his 60s. Just think about that. He was wrestling the same era as Flair. And if Flair was still wrestling, we'd be talking about, what is he doing? It's like, you see,
yeah.
You see Kevin Nash and Scott Hall doing that silly shit? No. Like, Lex Luger is in a wheelchair. Like, most of the people in his era have been retired for a long time or are dead. I know Sting, like, you know what, I ain't really getting a chance to do what I want to do in WWF. I want to prove I can do it. Like, that's like Ricky Henderson, but, like, what do you have to prove? And this is speaking from someone who actually, I've always been a big fan of Sting. And I like seeing Sting. I'm like, I don't need to see you wrestle. You're going to see Tully Blanchard out there doing, like, he's out there being old, like, as he should. Arn Anderson's out there being old, as he should. Like, save that whole, I'm an old, swole man. Let Billy Gunn do that, because he's like powerlifting his sons. Let him do that.
And plus, he still is at least a solid decade younger. 2 decades younger.
Wow. That's saying a lot. Billy Gunn been around for a long time. He's probably 15 years younger than Sting. Good Lord. So, what? But that's my, for the most part, like, I didn't get to see the pay-per-view. I heard it was awesome, and based on the description, it sounded like it was a great pay-per-view. I like that.
Oh, okay. He's only about 5 years younger than Sting.
Could have told me 15. I find it hard to believe. Wait, he's 50, so he's 57?
Seven? Yeah.
And he looks like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder he failed a drug test. Because that's insane. He is 8 years older than The Rock. Just think about that. He's like 6 or 7 years. He's like older than Triple H.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I forgot Billy Gunn had.
I didn't really. I forgot he had that much mileage on him.
I mean, I know he was like New Generation era, but I was thinking like he was around the same age as like Triple H and The Rock, not like a whole generation older. Like him, he's like a pair of The Undertaker. Jesus Christ. But that's fine. The fact that you got me talking about AEW is a plus, because 2 months ago, I'm like, oh, fuck them guys. I'm not watching that junk. And I'm actually watching them now. Although I laugh, it's like, Hook. Is that Taz's son?
Yes.
Is CM Punk going to be afraid of him?
Wow. That's what they're implying, but I'm not sure why you're supposed to be afraid of a Gap model.
Does he have a gun? Does he have an actual hook? Hook, right? Hook? Does Taz have 2 more sons called Line and Sinker? Like, what? I watch this. I'm like, what is this? Like, but look, they're having fun. The fact that you see Taz back enjoying himself. You see Tony Schiavone feeling like, of all the people I'm happiest for is Tony Schiavone. The fact that he's doing what he enjoys, and he seems like he's having a great time, and he's re-energized, and we have a whole generation who when they think of Tony Schiavone before, it's just like, oh, we're out of time. That's the only thing that they forgot. They thought about Tony Schiavone. Uh-huh. Like, they didn't realize how good an announcer he was when he got to be a good announcer.
I honestly...
Especially guys like Jim Ross.
I am in that category of, there was a long time in Schiavone's career that I didn't like him. Like, when I got back into wrestling there during the Monday Night Wars, I didn't think he was very good then, honestly, throughout the whole fall of WCW. Now I am enjoying him. Like, I think my only problem is I think they overuse him at points.
Yeah, I mean, but they have like a 4-man booth sometimes. Oh. And it's just, you know, 3 is pushing it. You don't need more than 3.
Yeah, that Rampage booth is something else. It's not good. It's a train.
They really have us watching wrestling Friday night at 10 o'clock. Or 11 o'clock, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, well, it's kind of sad for me. I'm like, I'm finally not doing something, and I can stay up past 10 p.m. And so it's just like, I guess I'll just sit here and watch Rampage, because what else?
It's actually a perfect time, because, like, you know, if you watch, you probably enjoy yourself watching 2 hours of SmackDown. It's like, oh, SmackDown was fun. It's more wrestling. It's only an hour. I'll go ahead and watch. Like, that is a perfect thing. Like, AEW is just leeching off that whole fan base. You know, these nerds not going nowhere anyway. So stay in the house, watch us for an hour, and then go to sleep. And the fact that we actually have actual wrestling, like, the wrestling war stuff is dumb because they're friends in real life anyway. That's only fans that's just fighting over demographics and all that. Like, oh, they won this quarter hour. Like, save that shit for the Mountain Belts. Like, I don't give a rat's ass. it does not affect me or who won the quarter hour, or who's a draw, and all that. It is irrelevant to me. I just want to enjoy myself. And the more options you have that are good, the more chance you have of enjoying myself. And one last thing before I go. Have you watched any episodes of Heels yet?
No. I do not have. Is that on Showtime?
Stars.
Stars. Yeah, don't have Stars.
I need you to figure out a way to watch that show. That show is amazing. That is probably the best representation of pro wrestling that's been on, like, TV or movies. Like, Stephen Amell really loves wrestling. I would just say this, because he nailed exactly how it's like. He is Fritz Von Erich. Like, he nailed exactly how Southern wrestling is. Like, they get the lingo right. They get the vibe right. Just everything is nothing. You know, a lot of times you watch something, it's like, if you know people who've done research and people who haven't done research. And with wrestling, if you don't do research, you sound real stupid when you try to fake it. They never sound stupid.
I mean, I cry every time I see architecture represented in any TV or movie show. Like, even now, people are just still at a drafting board with a pencil and a sheet of paper. And it's just like, oh, fuck it. Fuck off, guys. Like, really? But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you can tell when things come off as inauthentic. And I guess I was kind of excited. I really liked, I don't know what the actor's name is, but he's Stephen Amell's brother.
Alexander Ludwig.
Yeah. I loved Vikings. The wife and I watched that whole series from Jump Street on, and he was on that the whole time, and he did a great job, so I guess I'm not too surprised that it's at least well acted.
It's well acted. The storylines are just well done. And you know, the funny thing is, Stephen Amell, low key, was not only responsible for the birth of AEW, he was also partly responsible for CM Punk coming back. Because CM Punk guest star on one of the episodes, and he said, like, you know, guest star on that helped revigorate him thinking about coming back to wrestling. Like, just getting into it, just enjoying himself. And I'm just watching, I'm like, they really. The dude from Arrow is doing an old school wrestling show on Stars, and it's awesome. I'm like, how did this happen? Why is this happening? I'm glad it's happening. Like, it's just amazing how much stuff they get right. Like, he really, this whole thing started like him and Neville in the SummerSlam match.
Yeah, like, I mean, how long ago was he with Cody in that? Like, that had to have been a while ago.
That was a real while ago, because I remember when Cody guest starred on Arrow a couple times. And then they had the whole match, and they involved actually Diggle and everything. Like,
2015. Like, good gravy.
Yes. And, wow, it's... Yeah, I would just say anybody that's a fan of pro wrestling should definitely watch Heels. It's an amazing show. Just how they get everything. Just, it's because, as you talk about the architect, as a pharmacist, I just laugh at the drug doses I see them give. I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Or they give them like a horse-sized dose.
I'm like, what are y'all dosing? Dinosaurs? Like, they still had these big ass needles like Dean Ambrose had. Like, I need to get vaccinated. Not with that. That's a turkey baster. Like, I'm sitting here kind of like, that's what happened when you have people that hasn't watched anything involving medicine since like 1985. And it's just kind of like, it does not take that long. And I watched it, and there's this kind of, some places have gotten better, but it's still. I didn't realize how bad it was, so I became a pharmacist, and then I watched certain old stuff. I'm like, yeah, this shit is abhorrent. It's like, it's insulting.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okie doke. Well, I think that wraps up the wrestling talk. I will try to figure out a way to watch that, because I was pretty interested. Bell time beer of the show. For some reason, one of our friends felt like they should just buy beer off the shelf at a grocery store. And they left me a Kentucky Cream Ale, vanilla bourbon. And it was fairly solid for a non-craft beer. I will say that. Can't really tell that it was aged in bourbon barrels. But hey.
I ate an orange.
I also had my orange zero sugar vitamin water, I guess, if that helps.
So
at DeFrango 11, at Texas Drugs, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. And as usual, Shahid can do a proper out, so I will leave that up to him.
For the true architect, Kevin DeFrango, and Shahid Abdulhadi, we are out.